about it. See, care can slip up on you. You don't even know you're all tied up in knots. Can't even enjoy the presence of God. Worried about the time. We're going to be late getting to that restaurant today. If you could see in the spirit how people are really doing on the inside. You got to give those cares to the Lord. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I see that when the care comes, I got to humble myself, give it to God, get ready for a fight, resist the devil. See, that's a part of it, resisting the devil. Some people just want to throw it and then they don't want to resist the devil. Well, you got to resist him because he's looking for somebody to devour. So you got to resist him actively. You got to resist him. Now, this scripture here says, and he's giving us another key here. He said, now, don't be anxious about anything. He said, but by everything, through prayer and supplication. Those are heartfelt requests to God. He said, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. So I'm supposed to say, now, Lord, here's my anxiety, here's my care, here's what I'm frustrated about. I refuse to hold it. I give it to you. I'm resisting the devil, saying I'm not taking it back. And now, Lord, I'm making my request known to you. And it doesn't matter which order you do this in, because sometimes it may flip-flop on you. Just depend on how the attack comes. Sometimes you just take the care straight to God, make your request known, then turn around and resist the devil. Take a stand against it. Amen. Then you make your request known with thanksgiving. Why?
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast. Featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Genesis chapter 5, verse 20. Have it, say amen. All right, let's read. That's all it says. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, God took him. That's all it said. Well, there are many things about this verse that intrigues me. First of all, if you back up just a little bit, Enoch was about 65 years old when he had his first son, Methuselah, who was the longest recorded ever living man on planet Earth. But not much is known or said about Methuselah. Not much more than he lived and he died. After 969 years, if that's all folk can say about you, it makes you wonder. But with Enoch, his father, it's something else that's interesting to me, because after he is 65, having had Methuselah, he meets God. And he's also intrigued with God. He's interested in God, and he's inspired with God, so much so that he walks with God for 300 years. Now, what's interesting about this is, after he walks with God for 300 years, there are some things that happens at the end of his life, which kind of blows my mind. But let's deal with the fellowship that he has with God, because you can really, no matter what's going on in your life, become encouraged and enlightened and empowered when you learn how to walk with God. When you walk with the source of all knowledge, of all creation, of all ability, when you walk with the one who wakes you up in the morning, when you walk with the one who gives you life and makes it worthwhile, when you walk with the one who reveals to you the purpose of your life and gives to you sustenance to live this life and to be blessed in this life, you will learn that there is nothing better than walking with God. So one of the things that intrigued me was the fact that his walk with God, first of all, if you're writing notes because this is helpful for your life, was he was focused on God. He was focused on God. One of the reasons why we can't walk with God is because we're not focused on him. We're focused on everything else. We're focused on making a living. We're focused on getting a mate. We're focused on getting riches. We're focused on this pursuit, on that pursuit. Not that any of that is wrong, but when you make that your primary focus over God, then those things cease to give to you the benefit that you are looking for, that can only come from when the creation is in connection with the Creator. See, there are some things you desire underneath your skin that money just can't buy. Don't care how much money you got. There are some things you desire education can't answer. I don't care how many degrees you have. There are some things, again, no matter how many relations you have on this earth, cannot take the place of the relationship that your soul desires to have with God. And so as I continue on, there are so many areas of life that we're trying to fit the place of happiness and joy and peace and prosperity in, that only God fits in, that nothing else can fill. And so we go around aimlessly pursuing
these feelings and these emotions, trying to accomplish this and that, only to end up in life with things and accomplishments and still no joy. Still feeling I've not fulfilled my purpose here on planet Earth. So the first thing we need to know is Enoch was focused on God. How do you know he was focused, Pastor? Well, because from the time he had Methuselah at 65 years old, nothing else comes into play but God. For 300 years, it's him and God. Now, I'm not saying that not other things that interplayed in his life during his life, but it's clear his priority was God. It was clear that his passion and his focus was all on God. Every day of his life, it began with God, it continued with God, it concluded with God. And my brothers and sisters, every day he focused on God. I've got news for you. God focused on him. It was a fellowship, which meant that there was a mutuality of spirit. There was a cohesiveness of fellowship there. They together enjoyed each other's company. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you desire to know what God wants more than you want God to know what you want, and you listen to him, he wants to hear you too. But when you want to know his heart more than you want him to know what's in your heart, then God becomes pleased with that. So first thing was, he was focused on his fellowship. But then the second thing I recognized from the verses was that he was fruitful in his fellowship. Do you know you can't walk with God 300 years and not be fruitful? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I can tell by how quiet you are. You see, your life becomes fruitful when you have the one who knows all things, telling you all things, showing you all things, giving to you the answers of life, showing you the way of life. Look at what Psalm says, 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Turn it there, find it there in your Bibles, you'll see it. Thou wilt show me the path of life. The psalmist is talking about God is going to show him the path of life. Then notice what he goes on to say. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence is fullness of joy. Then notice what he concludes with. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What the psalmist is talking about, Enoch experienced. God showed him the path of life. Now listen at this. And guess where the path of life led him to? To God. The path of life, real life. I'm not talking about existing. I'm not talking about the natural and normal and secular life. I'm talking about real life, divine life. I'm talking about godly and good life. I'm talking about successful life. It's found in God. And this is what it's important for you to know, that God will lead you to him. In his presence is fullness of joy. Let me say this. If you take the joy out of everything you've got, everything you've done, everything you have, everything you are, my question to you is, what's the sense in living? What's the sense in having it? The biggest part of it is the joy that it brings. I mean, you think about everything that you really desire in life is attached with joy. Even before you get it, you think about the joy you will have when you get it, when you accomplish it, when you receive it, when it's yours. Otherwise, what's the sense in struggling and straining and getting up in the morning and working and doing all of this if it brings you no joy in the end? And the real joy comes in being in His presence. For 300 years, every day of His life, He had the joy of His life as He walked with God on a daily. Couldn't nothing shake Him because He had God. Couldn't nothing break Him because He had God. Couldn't nothing confound Him because He had the wisdom of God. Couldn't nothing overpower Him because He had the power of God. Couldn't nothing depress Him because He had the inspiration of God. I'm trying to tell you, when you've got God, you've got the fullness of joy in every arena of your life. This man walked with God and he was fruitful. Not only was he fruitful in the divine sense, but he was fruitful in the negative sense. Now listen to this, because what blew me away about that text, just read it. Because after walking with God 300 years, the Bible said he had more sons and daughters. So he was fruitful and multiplied. y'all don't get it. His strength was in God, and God was in his strength. He didn't miss nothing by being with God. He didn't miss out on anything with being with God. And when he had been with God 300 more years, he went back and still had more sons and daughters. So his walk was fruitful. But the last thing I want to say about his walk was, it was favored. It was favored. You see, the Bible says in the book of Amos, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Excuse me. So he agreed with God, and God agreed with his agreeing. In other words, he put his amen to what God said. And see, my brothers and sisters, that's one of the blessings and benefits of understanding the word of God. You don't always have to understand it. You just need to agree with it. God, if you said it, it doesn't matter if I don't understand it or not. If you said it, the creator of every living thing and understanding everything, if you said it, that means you understand it. And since you know the beginning and the end and everything in between, and all I know is about what's happening right now and what has happened, you've got an advantage over me. And if I learn to trust you and know that you know the way and will show me the way if I follow you by faith, knowing that nobody but you hold all the answers in his hand, that I'll be successful not because of me, but because of me following you. And so the favor of God came upon Enoch's life. In every arena of his life, because God favored him, because he favored God. How many of you know God wants to be wanted? God wants to be desired. God wants to be delighted in. God wants to be, yes, love. God doesn't want you just coming to him, asking him, petitioning him, begging and pleading. He wants you to come to him because you love him. That you want to be in fellowship with him. That you want him more than what he has. Let me ask you a question. Do you want someone to want you for you or for what you've got? Come on, talk to me. Be real with me for a minute. Now, here's the problem we have. Most folk want you not for you, but for what you have. I don't care if it's something as simple as looks. It's because you have them. Something as simple. Are y'all going to talk to me at least? Since we can't get with it spiritually, let's go on to the world. Let's deal with some worldly stuff. Most times, the person you attracted to, you were attracted to either what you saw in them or what they possessed, again, which was still a part of them, what they occupied, what they received, what they had, what was a recognizable benefit and value of them, regardless of it was just their person or their possessions. Why do you think most women talking about, you want a man with this and he got to have a car and he got to wear nice shoes and got to dress nice and got to have a J-O-B. And come on, talk to me. Don't act like you don't now. They ain't going to pray for it. Because if that was the case, a broke man would be just as good as a rich man. But you ain't got no long lives looking for no broke men. Come on, sisters, at least be truthful with me here. It's already been determined that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So the truth about real beauty is wherever the beholder sees it at. Some see it on top of the skin, others see it underneath the skin. It's where the one who is focusing at sees it at. Sometimes I've seen some of the most beautiful people with the most nastiest and negative attitudes that you want. Whatever beauty they had on the outside was subtracted again from the beauty that they did not have on the inside. In other words, their beauty on the inside was so dirty and ugly and nasty that it didn't matter about their beauty on the outside because you didn't want no parts of that. I know how it amazes you sometimes when you see one person who may be much better looking than the other person and wonder how in the world they hooked up, how they connected. He could have done better than that. She could have done better than that. But you know what you don't see? The beauty that they saw in each other. And they don't have to answer to you for what you think about what they saw in each other. That's the beauty of real love. And so when you begin to realize, brothers and sisters, that God wants to be favored by you just as much as you want the favor of God, then you will start acknowledging him, respecting him, placing him in that prime position of focus in your life, spending quality time with him. Any of us don't spend much time, more than a couple minutes in prayer in the morning and a couple minutes in the evening, and maybe a Lord have mercy and a, oh God, hallelujah, here, praise the Lord there during the day. And that's about all God gets out of you. No time in his word. No time meditating on him and his word. No seeking him for what he wants from you. It's always what we want from him. And so that fellowship was favored both ways. And can I tell you, when you're favored of the Lord, you please God. And when you please God, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. In other words, it don't mean they're going to like you anymore. It don't mean they're going to fall in love with you. But what it does mean is they recognize that there's someone stronger, bigger, better, greater than you keeping you. And to mess with you is to mess with him. When you are favored of the Lord, his peace is upon you. A peace that passeth all understanding. Listen, all the makeup in the world can't give you the glow that God gives you. Folk want to know what's going on in your life. Why are you so happy? What's going on? What's happening with you? Just Jesus. Ooh, woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you know that can't nobody do you like the Lord. Nobody has done you like the Lord, who has given his life for you like the Lord, who has made provisions for you like the Lord, who has given you peace and healed your body, delivered you, and all of the other wonderful things he does and has done like the Lord. So there's nobody like the Lord for you. And when you walk with that knowledge every day, no matter what you go through, to know he's right by you, you can say like David, yay. Yay. You know what? It's because I know he's with me that yay starts off the verse. Though I walk through the valley, that is of no moment, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because it can't hurt me. Because thou art with me. He's got something to help me, because his rod is for my enemies and his staff is for me when I fall. So I'm comforted no matter what I go through, because he's right there with me. Do you know what kind of confidence you can walk through life? Do you know what kind of real godly attitude you can have? I'm talking about a victorious attitude. I'm talking about a winner's attitude. I'm talking about a conqueror's attitude. No matter what happens in your life, you know in the end you win. Now, if that don't encourage you, and if that don't bless you, then I don't know what will. If the Lord can't do it, it can't be done. You're just fooling yourself. Because the real truth of the real blessing is being in his presence and walking with him and talking with him and living with him each and every day. God bless you today. The doors of the church are open for whoever you are today. The emptiness, the void that you may feel in your life is because you're not walking with God. Let me be as real and as clear as I can be. What's missing underneath your skin is a closer walk with God. In his presence is fullness of joy. When you're in his presence, there is nothing else that matters. Nothing else matters when you're in his presence. Nothing can compare. No problem, no sickness, trouble, no enemy, nothing. When you're in his presence. That's why the enemy does not want you in his presence. God bless you. God bless you.